10% of WYXR's annual funding, $85,000, used to come from federal support. That funding is now gone. If you enjoy this archive, please make a donation, start a monthly gift, or add a few dollars to your current one. As public media faces an uncertain future, support from our Memphis community matters more than ever. Give now at WYXR.org.
Data center at the south end of Bollinger Road near the Coca-Cola Distribution Center. The plans describe a 920-acre site with five large-scale data center buildings, office buildings, parking areas, internal access roads, a utility substation, stormwater management facilities, utilities, and associated infrastructure. For the Daily Memphian, I'm Dima Amro.
Memphis Mayor Paul Young cut the ribbon on a new Riverside Drive that works for those on foot, on bicycles, and in cars, and narrows down access to parking for Tom Lee Park. According to Young, the overall goal is a safer, slower, more pedestrian-friendly Riverside Drive. Young, whose background is in city planning, led Memphis's Division of Housing and Community Development during the tenure of Mayor Jim Strickland. He oversaw the district when Riverside's traffic pattern changed dramatically several times over. When he became mayor, another permanent remake of Riverside Drive, with a goal to resolve those remaining issues while slowing down traffic on the stretch, was on his list of priorities. He got to it after the first and second Riverbeat Music Festivals in the redesigned Tom Lee Park. For Bill Dries, I'm Natalie Van Gundy. More on these stories and others are available at dailymemphian.com.
Feel the beat in our community where we're all complete. With Dr. Talisa, let's take a stand. Together we'll grow hand in hand.
From the Dr. Talisa of history show, to dreams we chase. Dr. Talisa Franklin shines a light on every face. In every
Dr. Talisa show,
there's a story to tell. Gotta keep the culture celebrated as we excel.
Here at the Dr. Talisa show.
Happy to everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice. This is the day, that the Lord has made. You know what we're going to do? We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I am your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin, always excited to bring you the best of the community and the culture that is happening in our community all around the world. Well, I tell you on today, I'm always excited to have guests with me that is really doing the work in the community, is really doing the work into transforming others, and it's not so much about themselves. And today, y'all, I'm excited to have the founder and CEO of Every Child Should Smile. Listen, Every Child Should Smile, the founder is Doressa Brooks. But let me tell you, Every Child Should Smile is a nonprofit dedicated to empowering youth and families across Memphis. The mission of Every Child Should Smile is to ensure that every child has the opportunity to smile with confidence and joy. This initiative is driven by the belief that every child's smile is a symbol of hope and reflection of their well-being. This organization focuses on providing support and resources to help children overcome obstacles and thrive in their communities by working with various partners and initiatives. Every Child Should Smile aims to create a world where every child can smile and feel, that's it, value. I can tell you, as a little girl growing up, I would smile, but I never really felt valued. I never felt that I needed to feel. And I always tell people now, smiling faces can tell lies. But when you have a community that is built around making sure you smile for real and you feel value, then you know that you are really in a good space. Will you welcome with me, my girl? What's up, honey?
What's up?
How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good. I have no complaints at all. I tell people when I from the first day I met you, you've been the same chick. And I love you for that. Because, y'all, people, you know, cold switch, they be going back and forth.
Yes.
But you just said, girl, kind of tell us, why, who are you? the people that may not know. And then why every child should smile?
Well, why every child should smile is because I saw firsthand the challenges that our youth go through.
Yeah.
By being a mother of eight.
Yeah.
So, by me working all the time and not being there, in 2020, having those hard conversations with my children, about how I wasn't there to, I was a great provider, but I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge being able to provide for your children and still be there presently embodied, right? So I just said, hey, and then especially with the high crime, not giving them choices, well, a broader choices, right? Without their parental guidance. So I wanted to do my part in as a single mother with children, understanding to provide for, how to provide for them, and then still not being able to be there. So I want to be their part to pick up those pieces to be there for our youth.
And you know, one thing you said, being a mother of eight, that has to be a challenge, right? And a blessing. But just be real, to take care of those many children in this society, you had to work.
Had to.
You know, ain't no money just falling from the sky.
No.
Right. So you had to work. And so when you're doing what you're doing as a mother that has eight children, and thank God all your children are well, what would you really say to that mama that's struggling? Because I got some mamas probably struggling having one, right? Trying to figure out, how do I make my child feel valued and seen and heard? But I got to go work. I got to work 2-3 jobs and make ends meet.
Well, I refused to be a statistic. So I wasn't going to rely on government to help me. But some of those that did, and I did have government assistance prior to me having eight children.
Yeah.
But I worked really hard.
Yeah.
And I just, I got promoted. So I had goals. And it was crazy the way that I got promoted, because it was more of a uniform.
Wow.
I wanted to be in a different uniform. I wanted to dress like this versus like that. Right. And then I wanted to make my own schedule.
Yes.
So if I made my own schedule, I can be there for my children.
Uh-huh.
And those, just having those those impersonal goals to reach just for myself and be able to. I just hated for somebody to tell me how much money I can make.
Come on. Like, Lord knows I don't like that. I don't let it happen.
I mean,
either.
I got all these kids.
Yeah.
As soon as I make. I was only making $26,000 a year. And I got cut off all benefits.
Eight children,
$26,000. I was like, baby, that's my rent. They still got to eat.
They got to have clothes. They got to have extracurricular activities. They have nothing.
So it's hard. It's hard even when you haven't won and you choose to do better, or you want your child to do better, and still be, and as soon as you get to that better, it's like, how do I do it, right?
Yeah.
So I still need assistance, but I can do some things on my own, but I still need a little help, a little more help. So I wanted to put in those pieces too, to be there actually a little more help with every child should smile. So yeah, it's not easy.
But I want to go back, because we're going to talk. We thank God we have time to have conversation on how we can really understand every child should smile. But it started with your children.
It started with my children.
And you said something that I think a lot of times we as parents and we as adults don't like to have. And those hard conversations, right?
Yes.
Because I tell my son, anybody know, I'm very active in my son's life, right? But some days I still feel like I didn't do enough, right? And my boys, my brothers, many people know I rear my brothers. They say, my son, you gave him everything. I was like, but I didn't do enough, right? I really feel sometimes I beat myself up saying I didn't do enough. And I'm grateful that he didn't go, but I feel like I didn't do enough. But so let's talk about you. And I'm having hard conversations with one little personality, one that's, you know, in that stage that he feels that he can have conversations with his mama. But how was having those hard conversations with 8 children? That's 8 different personalities, 8 different point of views, 8 different probably attitudes, 8 different everything. And you hear you 8-1. And everybody said, well, mama, you didn't do this. But you did do this, ma. Then you probably had the one that's trying to make everything all right. But mama, you was a good mama. Kind of talk about that, because it's always that one.
It's always where I get a chance to like kind of mess up and make up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the advantage I have in more than one child. So you got how where you looking at it wrong.
Yeah.
So actually, when my oldest, daughter, she was like, you didn't get on them like you got on me.
Right.
Or you didn't do this. Or you left me to babysit
all of them.
So then they had to have those conversations with her too as well, because she was like, well, this how mama disciplined me, so this how I'm gonna discipline y'all.
Right, right.
Right. Sometimes she took it to the extreme.
I'm the mama today. Yes. Mama ain't here. I'm the mama today. You better get your butt somewhere and sit down. Eat this food.
So it was those conversations I had to have with her. And then the conversation they had to have with her. And it was like, and these are my last 5, because they are close. They are just outspoken. First 3, they kind of, it's 2 boys and a girl. And my daughter's next to the oldest. So they kind of not saying so much.
Yeah.
And then those last 5 are just outspoken. This is what it is. We're going to put it on the grill and we're going to let you cook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So one was like, you know, hey, you wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You wasn't. And I had it because they were older at this time. So they were graduating from high school. 2 of them was. So in 2020, so they got a chance to see like, okay, so somebody got to pay the bills.
Yeah, yeah.
So who going to pay them?
Mm-hmm.
They can't pay themselves.
Right.
They lived in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they wanted to be, I don't know why kids in the suburbs want
to
be.
They
want
to go to the hood, and we survive the hood. That's a whole other subject.
Yes.
Because I had to get my boy.
And I said, well, it wasn't like I can put y'all in a 2-bedroom.
Yeah.
Or even a 3, so I had to. Mm-hmm. I was forced. It wasn't that I was trying to show off for.
He had no choice.
It was no choice.
Yeah.
Unless y'all were going to be sleeping on top of each other.
Right.
So having those conversations, well, you wasn't there for an event or you wasn't. But anything that they wanted to do, mm-hmm. I supported it.
Yeah, okay.
You wasn't there sometimes. But I did do projects. Mm-hmm. So I was doing projects with them. But actually just being there invested. When you at home, you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you wasn't, you know, there unless we was going out of town or you was taking us on a trip.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, you would come home, go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
I see it because
I'm tired. Yeah, I didn't think. I'm tired.
So then it was more like, I wish you would have been there more. And I got to see more of them in their high school.
Yeah.
Because I got promoted to where it was work-life balance.
Uh-huh.
So I could leave work and,
exactly.
and go pick them up from school.
Uh-huh.
But there was more in their high school versus their elementary.
And I think that's the same thing with me, right? Because when my son was younger, I was there. But I'm grateful. He has an amazing father, right? His father was like, I got this. Go do this. Go build that. I got this, Lisa. And I'm grateful for that, right? And I always say there's a love that can't nobody ever replace, because he helped me down to make sure my son still got what he needed so that we can get to today's day, yeah. right? But a lot of people don't understand that. But even there was, and we're going to come back after this break, because I was like, our children, we gave them the best. But every now and then, they want to go back.
They can tell the most horrible story.
The crazy story. Because I'm going to tell you about my son. He wanted to ride the school bus. And that's a whole nother one. Let me go to break. Because I got to tell you. Because I said, do what, boy? You know, we in the carpool line. What's really going on, right? Hey, y'all. I'm your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. Keep it locked right here for more community conversations that matter to our culture.
Join the rhythm and feel the beat in our community where we're all complete. With Dr. Talisa, let's take a stand. Together we'll grow, hand in hand.
From the Dr. Talisa show to dreams we chase, Dr. Talisa Franklin shines a light on every face. And every
Dr. Talisa show,
there's a story to tell. Gotta keep the culture celebrated as we excel.
Here at the Dr. Talisa show.
We're back right here to the Dr. Talisa Show, where we're definitely having those conversations that matter to our culture and community. And so today, y'all, that as we left off, we were talking, me and Daressa, we were talking about our children. Of course, she's a mother of eight. I'm a mother of biologically one. And of course, my brothers is my babies too. But we're just talking about how we try to give them a different life, right? Because yes. I remember, and it was so funny because you got to say it, I grew up in North Memphis. We didn't have a lot. We had nothing. I mean, we were poor, right? We wanted to poor, we were poor. And I remember riding the school bus, and I got bullied on the school bus. I'm grateful to a young lady by the name of Tamika Swift. I tell everybody, I love that girl. Because Tamika Swift said, y'all better leave alone. She ain't never bothered nobody. And then she would say, Tamika, you sit next to me. Because I was a quiet little girl, right? Yeah. I was quiet. I was broken. And I get it now because I was so broken, right? And so I never wanted my son to ride the school bus, right? And so all of a sudden, he kept pondering, like, Mama, can I ride the school bus? I was like, no. We carpooling this thing. And then so in that time, he was middle school. It was funny. Middle school. He went to Barley. So Barley was great schools, okay, right? Yes. And the bus was really good buses. Let me be very clear, right? Because there was a bus stop that came right in front of my house. And he would always see the kids. I'm like, you can see them, but you're getting in this truck or this car. We going to school, right? We ain't doing this, boo. We ain't doing this. Your daddy going to pick you up. He going to be there full time because I don't need no problem. Baby, and he's like, Ma, I just really want. I was like, why the heck you want to ride the school bus? Because I kept worrying about my triggers yes. and my issues, right? And right. so I think as a mama, we try to protect our children. Like you gave your children a different community because yes. of where you all grew up in, right?
Yes.
So like, let me give them a different outlook. But heck, sometimes they don't want it.
No.
Don't, you know, my uncle, you say, don't save them. They don't want to be saved. I'm like, boy, I'm trying to save you from feeling like I felt on the school bus. Standing on the bus stop hungry. I don't want you to have that, right? So those conversations that later on, I think your children are value. And my child will value the sacrifices we made. Because we didn't have to make those sacrifices. We could have took the easy way out and yes. said, we're going to live here, you're going to stop it, and you're going to do what I say, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yes. Because I could have got 6 and 8 easily.
Oh, girl, you probably could have got about 5, 6, and I went for full steps. Baby, you had all the chicken and the Raymond noodles. But and you didn't. What? It was a choice.
Yes, and I didn't have to buy ramen noodles.
What you say?
They didn't start eating ramen noodles until high school. And that was by their choice. Because I was like, okay, this is what you want.
Right, right.
So I would let them. But actually, hearing those conversations, it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts for your child to say, you didn't raise me.
Mm.
I was like, who? Then who did?
Yeah.
Because you was in my house.
Right.
I was getting broke for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't spend anything on me because I was, you can go in the store and you can say, hey, today I'm going to shop for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then see a leave out of there with something
yeah.
for them and then maybe one shirt for yourself.
Right.
So have, or some socks.
Yeah.
yeah. I'm like, okay, I'll just get this in. Uh-huh. Because it's like, how can I buy myself something if I know my children is in need? Like, I always was afraid of them not having.
Mm-hmm. Because I think we grew up not having. And we never want to pass those generational pieces down. And here we are now, 2025. There are some parents that may have multiple children. Instead of taking full accountability of their children, they don't. Now they're mad at society because of what they didn't do. Because one thing I do now, even though my son is in college, and even my boys is police officers and all that stuff, I know their location at all times. So that means I know where they are. That tells me that I'm going to pray them to be okay. But more so, I still want to make sure they're accountable at all times. And when you're thinking about every child should smile, I think that's one reason your child can smile, to know that you care.
Yes. Or knows somebody.
Somebody cares.
Somebody cares about me. Mm-hmm. These kids these days are angry.
Oh, my God. Angry is not the word. If you listen to them,
they hurt.
They're hurting, and all they want is attention. And I keep telling people, we are not going to put them all in jail to fix it. It's going to take to have those hard conversations that don't feel good.
Yes.
But they're going to be good for us.
We're going to have to go back to the Rosa Park.
Yes.
Well, we put them all on a bus. Like, it took a village. It's going to have to take a village. They have a right.
Yes.
To feel exactly how they feel.
Yeah.
And the only way they seem is if they can get our attention, especially our culture.
Yeah.
Is to act out. Mm-hmm. Is to do those things. Okay, so if I'm doing good, do I get that attention?
Come on.
Because we have a lot of children that are doing extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
But do we blast them? You know.
We don't take the chance to celebrate the ones that's good, but we put all the attention on the ones that's challenging.
I'm fit to have, and I know some people are going to say some things. I can't believe she said this or whatever.
Say
right?
it. It's my show.
So it's the thing is, soon as our kids do something, and I mean our culture kids, right?
Yeah. African-American blacks.
Yes.
Soon us.
Or considered African-American black. You know, if they do something, us as a race, we turn on our own children.
Oh, come on. Let's talk about it.
I'll put them in jail. Mm-hmm. Oh, this, and that. When are we going to take accountability and fix our own problems with our own kids? Whether it's yours biological or not.
Right.
As a race, we are the only ones that bash our race.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this because I'm finna give an example.
Okay.
Let's just take these school shootings, right? It's a tragic that happened.
Yes.
And I hope he gets the help he needs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he don't need to be in. It's a tragedy. Accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you get the help he needs.
Mm-hmm.
We don't say that about our own kids.
Right. We're selective.
And we, one child can speak for an entire race. Where is that?
Yeah.
How do you say... And then when my songs get pulled over or whatever, right? Yeah. Then they look at them as that one person or that small group to speak for an entire race.
Yeah.
Our children these days. No, it's just your
dead
badass kid.
Oh, watch him out. Watch him out.
You know, I'm just saying, like, honestly speaking, we cannot tell one child that because of this child action, it's an entire race or their percentage, which might be 5% or 2%. Because
it's only a few young people making poor decisions, but we illuminate those few young people making those poor decisions, and we never showcase the young people doing the good things, right? But then we also never go back to those young people and say, let's find out where's the origin. Let's find out if your mama or your, if you may didn't have no daddy. So I can't tell you how to be a man if ain't nobody ever taught you. And so that's when I challenge my brothers in the community, stop talking and tell me who have you mentored. You know the lady down the street that has all these children. She's a single parent. Don't try to get in her panties. Just go down there and help her with them boys and see how you can change your community.
And then some people say, hey, because this person had all these kids, is there, they should have known, or it should have been taught better, right? But what if she would never taught better?
Come on. And I can, you know what? And I think we definitely got to dive into that. Because for a person that see you, I can only imagine sometimes the stigma you would get probably walking somewhere with all eight of your kids in your vehicle.
Well, let's just say this. I never went in the store with all eight of my kids. Girl, I had a motto. My children could not go in the store. It only took one incident because they are spoiled. So as soon as I can't get them something. No, we ain't doing no falling out.
Oh, yeah. Baby, as I'm going to say, baby, wherever you act up, I'm going to act up.
Right.
If you act up here, I got you.
And I would tell them, they were like, Mom, we going to something? No, ma'am, no, sir. I will go while they are in daycare. When they came home, they see the refrigerator full. But I did not take all my children to the store with me. And maybe because thinking back on it, maybe because of the looks, right?
Yeah.
Maybe because of things. But when you're with a man and you're in love.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Love, love.
And then he tell you, oh, ain't no man gonna want you because you got all them keys. But they purposely
It's do. Mental abuse.
It's the fact that I wanted it.
Yeah.
I even got to the point that I was so used to being pregnant. I just stick my belly out and start walking. I was like, every time I turn around, I would be pregnant. And I used to get my hair braided.
And if y'all don't know, if you're riding down the road, this girl's belly is flat. And I look like I'm about 3 months pregnant, okay? Let's go to break, because she done made me mad. Let me get myself together. Y'all got to get myself together. Her belly fat and mine is full. Hey, I'm Dr. Talisa. Keep it locked right here to the Dr. Talisa Show.
Join the rhythm and feel the beat in our community where we're all complete. With Dr. Talisa, let's take a stand. Together we'll grow hand in hand.
From the Dr. Talisa Show to dreams we chase, Dr. Talisa Franklin shines a light on every face. And every
Dr. Talisa Show
story to tell. Gotta keep the culture celebrated as we excel.
Here at the Dr. Talisa Show.
Super excited to have my dear friend, my dear sister friend, Dorissa Guest, that is the leader of Every Child Should Smile. But y'all, we just having a good girlfriend conversation, as you probably can hear or see. It got real, real. So, you know, here you go talking about you have eight children and you had got so used to being pregnant. You was walking with your belly out. Girl, please, I don't have to walk with my belly out. It is going to be out. Gotta talk about that because there's a lot of women, when you have in certain relationships, you become that person. And you feel, maybe you felt more valued and pretty at that time.
I was just used to it. I had five pregnancies back to back. So I was just used to just being pregnant. And actually when I wasn't, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But I knew I wasn't going to get pregnant anymore because I told my doctor with my last daughter, I said, you're going to have to send my tooth as soon as she come out of me. I said, because he's going to get me pregnant again. So my last pregnancy wasn't by my ex.
Yeah.
It was by somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, your latest baby is not going to be by somebody else. It's going to be with me. I said, He was in the room when I got my C-section with somebody else. He was there. And I was like, now y'all doing this? We doing this? I said, because if I have it vaginal, I can, you know, it's just going to slide right on that. But I had to have a C-section because with my twins, I had a C-section. So with my next child, I had to have a C-section. I said, since I'm having a C-section, y'all can go and tell them.
It's going to do it right now.
Right there on the table.
Right now.
Because if I wait till 6 weeks later, I'm going to come back and I'm going to be pregnant.
And but at least you knew that, right? So let's talk about, and many people that say, well, she had 8 kids. But you had a man in your life, too.
Yes.
You didn't do it on your own. So y'all don't just think that she had 8 children and it was by multiple partners. It was by the same man.
It was by multiple partners. Okay. I had 3 multiple partners.
Well, listen, 3 and 8. That means you had 8 multiple partners, right?
Yeah. No, I didn't have 8 multiple partners.
But you got 3 amazing fathers. Some kids that brought you so much joy.
They did.
You know? They do. So when you're saying, I see why you believe that every child should smile, right? Because there's probably some times in your children's life that if one father did this for their set, maybe didn't do it for the other, you still figured out how to make sure all your children were smiling.
Well, actually, not my my oldest children, dad, him and his wife kept all of them. Like, so if they would go over there, because my 2 oldest, like, they stayed with their dad for a while. And on the weekends, they would get them.
Wow.
And
so maybe they had a minivan. How did y'all transport that, Jared?
Well, I had a Tahoe.
Third seat at that.
And then my younger daughter, my baby girl, her father actually gave money for all of them.
Mm.
And then his mother, she kept my daughter. So they, like her sister, so they never separated.
Mm.
I was blessed by
A true village.
Yeah, they never separated them.
Mm.
So if one did for one, they'll do for the other one. So
that is a blessing that you were blessed with that village. And now I understand why you're always wanting to serve children, no matter who children they are. You always want to serve these children.
Yes.
And so I understand that. So let's, because, you know, y'all, if anybody know me, we will talk, y'all, because this is my girl. I love her. But when you're thinking about every child should smile, knowing your life, really, did that inspire you to start Every Child Should Smile?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it did, by just knowing having children. Like, it's been some things that was challenging in my life with my kids. Sometimes I was there by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Some days I didn't have any help, especially after having a C-section and having twins.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this breakup, right? And I went through postpartum. I did a suicide attempt.
Mm-hmm.
So it was those breaking moments as a human being that I did have. But by the grace of God, I pushed on through.
Yeah.
It was those times I had to bring my kids to work. So yeah, I have been through those moments, and through those moments make me, and I had to leave work.
Mm.
It's some days that I had to leave work. Either DCS was going to pick them up.
Gotcha.
Or I was going to pick them up. Mm-hmm. And then having to pick and choose between, do I get my kids and do I keep my job?
Yeah.
So when I got in a position to actually help mothers on my job, those ladies did worked hard.
Yeah.
They wanted to do the job, but still had, hey, I see you got my share.
Yeah.
I would say, hey, go get your share.
Uh-huh.
And I stay here at your store.
Come on.
And wait till the next person come in. It's a lot of that, me knowing that children are unsafe and they are in unsafe environments.
Yes, yes.
To just provide those safe havens. And that will bring to some of the things that I'm working on.
Yeah.
As far as safe haven centers for them, actually giving them those job readiness skills, working on a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
So they can have a stipend.
Yeah.
And they can be able to, if they can't, you know, have food at home, they can come and eat at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Providing those things, giving them a platform, creating a podcast for them to talk about the real life concerns or issues that they have in their community and what they think that looks like or make them feel and be able to have a safe place to actually voice their opinion. So all of that is out into to Every Child Should Smile.
And that, you know, when I think about, you know, you're literally, you live out your nonprofit mission in your work. And so, but what other opportunities that people can do to help you for our youth? Because I keep telling people it's the village. You know, you were saying that you had multiple children, but you had a village.
Yes.
And so that's what I believe our community has to be, the village, to help organizations and to help people like yourself that's on the front line to make sure these children are smiling.
Yes. We always run to, I'm going to say most people always run to a conversation or run to a name drop of our political government, right? But they're only one person.
Yes.
They can only do so much and still as commissioners, councilmen, our reps and all that. Yes, we can vote.
Yeah.
We can vote. But we still have to work.
Yeah.
They can't do it by themselves. We have to give them something to work with.
Exactly.
We have, I think it's like Memphis has a nonprofit, a church, and a liquor store on every corner.
Every corner, some of multiple corners.
So what are we doing as a community and within all our nonprofits? Mm-hmm. Are we just, you know, if we partner together and hold hands, that is our village. Mm-hmm. We have a village.
Absolutely.
We need it to work.
And we got to work together, y'all. I keep telling people we have so many silos that we never really see how we can be more effective because everybody is working in their own little space. But what happens if we bring all our lights together? We can shine bright, right?
Yes.
And so that's what I know, that the few times I've been able to partner you with stuff is because I see the work. I see you, right? And if somebody see you, you don't just say, oh, I got you. No, you get me by helping me push it forward. You get me by helping me pick on the phone and say my connections is your connections so that we can see the community.
Yes.
Have what the community needs.
And Dr. Franklin, you have done that with me, and I am so grateful.
I love serving.
Like, I am truly grateful.
I love serving. I love what you're doing, and I love the fact that a lot of your work are back in North Memphis, the Bay, where a lot of us come from, that sometimes we come from these communities, but we don't want to go back to serve those communities.
True.
And so you had never forgot how to not serve those. So kind of tell us, what is the age group and the gender you mainly been able to reach through your efforts?
Okay, so mine is always to the age of 9, but for the job readiness skills, it's 13.
Okay.
So it's 9 years old.
Okay.
So 9 to 24.
So y'all parents is out there and you're looking for something for your child to get involved with, and then you can get involved, right?
Yes.
Because I believe we just can't expect the program to do it. But parents, aunties, uncles, grandmas, and granddaddies, you're retired. Come on, be a mentor.
Yes.
And see how we can help amplify the voice of community. Community is nothing without unity, and we got to do that together.
True.
And what you're doing is amazing. So, or have you been able to get much community or faith-based organizations involved in your work?
I have the Man Cave.
Yes.
They just started up. So actually getting that input, you have been a great supporter also as well. The North Fraser Community Center, Heartfelt Moments.
Yeah.
A lot of those small organizations have helped. Mr. King.
Yes.
Yes, he has helped with the backpack drive.
Yes.
And all of those things. So just actually having those, Will Richardson.
Yes.
I can't, he has been a supporter as well as Henry Brooks, Charlie Caswell, all of those. But we cannot just depend on our political people to do it by themselves.
It's going
to
take all of us.
They need our help to make whatever their visions come true.
Yeah.
And their vision is in line with our mission.
Yeah.
So we can't just not do it.
Yeah.
Right. So when, and then getting our NAACP to actually do the work that they used to be done. Yeah. Like, load them kids up in them buses. Let's and take them to the library.
And let me tell you, y'all, even if you're not involved with the NAACP, I challenge you all. I'm grateful to be the chair of the health committee. And I'm always trying to figure out where the health and wellness in our community. But I'm excited the future of what we see with the NAACP. So I'm challenging people to get involved. Listen, y'all, the only way that we're going to move our community, the only way we're going to get to that next level, and it's that we got to get it together. And that means you got to be a part of the solution. And we know the problem, but you got to be a part of the solution. I'm your girl, Dr. Talisa. We'll be right back after this.
Join the rhythm and feel the beat in our community, where we're all complete. With Dr. Talisa, let's take a stand. Together we'll grow, hand in hand.
From the Dr. Talisa roots of history to dreams we chase, Dr. Talisa Franklin shines a light on every face. In every heartbeat, there's a story to tell. Gotta keep the culture celebrated as we excel.
Here at the Dr. Talisa Show.
Happy, y'all. Y'all know we're back right here on the Dr. Talisa Show, where we are really having a powerful conversation about life, about being a strong woman, about being a leader, about community. How do we work this thing together? And we're here talking with Darissa Brooks, founder and CEO of Every Child Should Smile. When I tell you every child should smile, every child should smile. And it's just smile for real, y'all. And listen, she has such an amazing story and amazing heart that she really want to see community and people do better. And so as we're talking, you know, we know that we have Every Child Should Smile. I'm challenging parents, if they have children, to be a part of it. But let's talk about, what do you think that the parents can do to get more involved? Because there's parents and guardians that need to be involved.
Yes, they are. They can come and actually just, especially when we have the podcast, right? Where the kids talk about those hard conversations.
Uh-huh.
But once again, it's in a safe place where they can actually hear, just listening.
Yes.
Right? Because I just want to take care of the children.
Yeah.
Like, this me.
Uh-huh.
And let the parents be the parents.
Yeah.
If you have to go and work, I want you to be able to do that and knowing your child is in a safe place. But those ones that are retired, they can pour into our youth. Come and listen to what they have to say.
Yes.
And then have those conversations with them, and you'll be able to know where they're, to reach them where they're at.
Yes.
To take them where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So having those ones that's, they used to be, you know, in the school system, police force.
Yes.
Those ones that's career oriented to where they can help them on a career path. Those ones who work in a bank, they have financial background.
Yes, Lord.
So we can teach them financial literacy.
Yeah.
Even the ones who just starting a business.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship. Because our children today are so tech savvy.
Oh, God, yes.
That they probably can run it by themselves.
Teach
me.
Uh-huh.
So just teaching them those fundamentals of basic, this is how we do a business account.
Yeah.
This is the difference between a business account and your personal account. And giving back in that form would help tremendously.
And, you know, I just want to challenge people that when we have nonprofits, they may not have this big name as some of the other ones that we always donate to. We're getting into the season where we're going to be making donations and we're going to be giving money to help support. Make sure you guys link in with her because Ms. Brooks is really doing the work. She's boots on the ground, as we say, about doing the work. In addition to that, in you leading your nonprofit, you also serve, y'all, with the Alpha Eta Zeta chapter. Can you share more about your role there?
Yes, I am.
Because she's a bona fide Zeta, y'all.
Yes, in period.
Yeah.
But that role is, I'm the chair of the developmental committee.
Yeah.
So I help find the grants for
us.
So I'm working on a building fund for our chapter.
Yeah.
So just getting that grant money so we can more serve the community. Alpha Eta Zeta has been serving Memphis for 86 years.
And he is.
And we're also boots on the ground, too.
Absolutely. There has, I was in my office, I showed you a few years ago in 2015, the Zetas honored me. And I'm always honored because they saw my work, right? And I tell people, I ain't new to this community work. I'm true to it because I've been at it a long time. So, and I just want to celebrate, not only are you doing that, but you're achieving things academically while leading in the community. You just graduated. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Well, I graduate in December.
You graduate in December with your MBA.
Yes.
And a graduate certificate in philanthropy, nonprofit leadership this December. Excited for you.
Yes.
But why are you pursuing both your MPA and your doctorate at the same time, future Dr. Brooks?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm doing both of those at the same time. See, I got more years, what they say, ahead, more years behind me than I do ahead.
Uh-huh.
So doing that dual role will actually help me keep me on path of what I need to put into my nonprofit, give back to the community. And education and leadership and service goes together.
Absolutely.
So in order for me to be able to run my nonprofit successfully and actually give that information back to my community and be able to pour into my community, decide to get in both nonprofit leadership. Why not? It should be.
I think it just works, right?
Works.
It's the A to the B to the Z to the
all goes right together.
I love it. I love it. And so I need moms that listen to this. You may have children.
Yes.
But you did not let having children stop you from achieving your goals.
No. Sometimes you have to stop and start.
Mm-hmm.
But never give up.
Yeah.
So even if you have those obstacles, sometimes life just be life in. So because I had to pause, doesn't mean that I gave up.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah.
You can. The only time is when you're in the grave.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because Colonel Sanders' star, KFC, is 70.
And we still eating that KFC. Good chicken. Yeah. I'm so glad they brought the wedges back.
So that's why he's so old
on
the box. Because he was old when he did it. And believe it or not, most women start business over the age of 50, 50 and above. So,
y'all can do it.
It's never too late. It's never too late to start anything.
Exactly.
So.
And so here you are that you're doing the work, y'all. She's not only doing the work publicly, but you're doing the work privately to build you to help others. And so I believe you'll be able to help mothers that feels like they don't have anything else to pursue for themselves to say, well, if she can be a doctor, I can too. Yes. Tell me what you did. So not only I see from every child should smile to every mom should smile, right? So there's a lot of spinoffs that I think that you'll be able to do with your program because there's so many different layers and you're not afraid to peel back those layers, right? And so one thing before I get out of here, I say to all of my guests, tell me the one word that you would actually use to describe community.
The one word that I would, family.
Family. What's the one word you would use to describe culture?
Resilience.
Family and resilience. So, in other words, I'm telling people, that when I'm having these conversations that happen for our culture and community, that means we got our family has to have the resilience to stay in.
Yes.
Because a lot of times people are throwing in the towel and they don't have the resilience to stay in. And then the families are so broken, they don't have the unity that's in community to make life better.
Right.
And so what would be a statement that you would make in saying, how do I continue to be a family and resilience in our community? And we got to continue to have these hard conversations.
The statement I would make would be, no matter what, we will win.
No matter what, we will win. I like that. No matter what. Because you got to get a no matter what in your spirit, right?
Yes.
Because a lot of what's going to come up, but no matter what, I don't care what that what is, I'm still going to win. And I think a lot of times in our community, and if you're going back to our families, back in the day, as we say, families had a resilience. They had a unity that we were going to be stand still. If you jumped on one of us, the whole clan coming, right? Because that's what the family was. Now, in some areas, you jump on one of the family, the other family, I ain't going to get in that. That's what they deserve, right? And so now we have to get back to family.
Yes.
And we got to get back to saying, no matter what, we're going to win. Yes. And I like that. And that's what I pray that you are that's watching or listening to the show today, that you get in your spirit that no matter what, you're going to win. No matter what, your family going to win. No matter what, you know, you're going to win even when you get a job that you know that it's just temporarily because there's a bigger purpose. And I tell people, there is times that you may have to do a temporary to get you to the bigger of the promise that you deserve, but you got to understand it and you can't be afraid of it.
Yes.
And so thank you so much. Any lasting words before we wrap up today?
Make sure y'all go to Every Chasha Smile at www.everychashasmile.com.
Yes.
Check out our website. And this is it. I'll get ready for future events that I am being part of Juneteenth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Women in Wonderland.
Yes.
And I think this is it.
And y'all, and the funny part about it, she has an organization, but she serves with other organizations with grace. Thank you for serving y'all. Because not only that, she is serving for our June. Y'all, many of y'all know that I do Memphis Juneteenth, and she is serving with our Greek show. So it's going to be hot, y'all. It's going to be on. But let y'all make sure y'all go to everychildshouldsmile.com. And see how you can be involved. See how you can make a donation. And just see how you can be connected, all right? Know that I love you, baby. Absolutely positively love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Make this day, make this moment, make this second the best ever. And learn how to be the best version of you, baby, because everybody else is already taken. Until next time, be blessed is my prayer for you.
Join the rhythm and feel the beat in our community where we're all complete. With Dr. Talisa, let's take a stand. Together we'll grow, hand in hand.
From the Dr. Talisa show to dreams we chase, Dr. Talisa Franklin shines a light on every face. And every
Dr. Talisa show,
there's a story to tell. Gotta keep the culture celebrated as we excel.
Here at the Dr. Talisa show.
Support for WYXR comes from the Orpheum Theater, presenting the Branford Marcellus Quartet on Friday, September 26th. From his New Orleans roots to stages around the world, Marcellus has performed as a jazz band leader, classical soloist, and composer for film and Broadway. More information at orpheum-memphis.com.
Girl, the drive. joy. That's why I sing these happy songs. They go dum dum. Yes.